Episode 150, weighing in with Travis Hartman. I am B-Money, the producer. That over there is the talent, Travis Hartman, a.k.a. Weekend Trav. Anthony Joshua knocks out Francis Ngannou in the second round this past Friday, Weekend Trav. How did we get that wrong? Why did we get that finish wrong?
You know why we got it wrong? Because Tyson Fury is a jack-off. Like, come on, man. Like, listen, that was very vulgar, and I apologize. But Tyson Fury is 100% to blame for Francis Ngannou getting knocked out.
Okay. That's an interesting take. Explain.
100%. So Tyson Fury should have done what Anthony Joshua did, and that was show that boxing and UFC are two different sports. Guys cannot cross over and actually compete at a high level like that. And what I mean by that is Tyson Fury is well known as the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. He was owns all the titles. He's never been beaten. He's only had a draw, but never been beaten. And easily should have dispatched of Ngannou just like Joshua did. But instead, we saw a fat, out of shape, unprepared Tyson Fury fighting Ngannou, which made Ngannou look like he was able to compete at this level. And no disrespect to Ngannou, because I think he is a quality human, okay? We're talking strictly boxing right now. Ngannou did not belong in the ring, and I hope that the WBC and the rankings who ranked him in the top 10, I hope they go back and they smack themselves in the face, because they have a top 10 heavyweight in the world who is 0-2, B-Money.
He's 0-2. Okay. So you're going to blame Tyson Fury then. Okay. So tell me what you saw. I mean, it was only two rounds, less than two rounds from a skill level. I know he got knocked down three times and then eventually knocked out. Other than that, did he look like just a pure novice in there? Did he look okay? Cause he looked okay. I get it that when he fought Tyson Fury came out of shape, wasn't prepared. But it's not that Francis Ngannou necessarily looked bad against him, just kind of the way he was in the ring, per se. Mm-hmm. Did you see the same thing this time around against Anthony Joshua? Was at least footwork, ring work okay?
No, I saw a very novice fighter in Ngannou, and I think that his footwork was okay. Everything else was okay, but I think you saw the big mistake that he made in the very first round. Ngannou switched left-handed. For whatever reason, he didn't do that against Fury, and he did it in the first round against Joshua. And Joshua, listen, I want to give him credit because it was very impressive. It was. But Joshua did to Ngannou what Tyson Fury should have done, or what any high-level heavyweight champion of the world should have did, and he didn't. But Ngannou turned left-handed. And if anybody knows anything about an orthodox fighter and a left-handed fighter, left-handed fighters are open for a straight right hand when you're fighting an orthodox fighter. Okay. What did Anthony Joshua do? As soon as he turned left hand, Anthony Joshua was like, wait, what? Really? Jab. Big right hand. I was impressed. I got up. Irina was here watching with my wife, and I jumped up and I was like, whoa. I was like, I'm not really used to seeing that out of Anthony Joshua. So that was impressive. But I'm thinking, was it impressive, or was Tyson Fury just 100% underwhelming?
Well, let's pull Tyson Fury out of this. Let me pose the question this way. Were you more impressed with Anthony Joshua in the ring or unimpressed with Francis Ngannou in the ring?
Well, and that's what I don't want to take away completely from Francis Ngannou. So I do want to say I was more impressed with Joshua. I'm not trying to be an Ngannou hater, but I'm also just trying to let MMA and UFC guys know that this is what happens when you cross over. Okay. These are high level guys. Jake Paul, who is a novice pro, was knocking out UFC guys. So a heavyweight champion of the world and a gold medalist, I believe, in the Olympics, Anthony Joshua, he knows how to fight, and he made Ngannou look very average.
Well, that's why I'm not, I don't care about the crossing over thing. I'm not one of these that's coming out with pitchforks and torches and say, stay in your lane sort of thing. If they want to cross over, that's fine, but they need to cross over. And, you know, and it's shame on us in the marketing. Of course, they're going to do this fight. Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou, they both made a boatload of money. So it's kind of hard to hate on that. But for the crossover appeal, it's cool. cross over, come on over. Yeah. But you got to kind of fight to your level on the boxing realm, just like vice versa. And that's why you never see a boxer go into a UFC cage, because why would they? They don't have the other disciplines. It makes no sense. They don't have any sort of grappling training. They don't have any sort of jiu-jitsu training. They don't have any of these things other than typical pugilistic style. So I hate the argument who you hear, you know, all the MMA guys say, well, come on over to our side. Why? There's no money, and they don't have the disciplines. Now, when an MMA fighter, I don't want to say it's just UFC, when it's MMA fighters come over to the boxing purist realm, they're not as sharp specifically to the pugilism, because they have all the other well-rounded stuff that they can't pull out those arrows out of their quiver to use. So, of course, you're going to get Francis Ngannou, who is a dangerous bad man. He is, okay?
272 pounds. A solid tank.
And let's be fair. If he landed a very, very clean shot, if Anthony Joshua did this and he allowed him to hit him, he would have gone night-night too. But that's not the case, because he's going against somebody who I've been super critical of, Anthony Joshua, and we saw the end result. Now, I think I'm impressed, but I'm hesitant. I think Anthony Joshua did what he needed to do to get himself back in the mix, in the conversation, when it comes to titles and things like that. Maybe one more step to that. But is it a situation where Anthony Joshua just plays to the competition? Because when he fought Usyk, we saw what he did, and he was a mental case. Yeah. And who knows, maybe one day he'll step toe-to-toe with Tyson Fury one of these days. But I just don't know, weak and trap. I just don't know. I don't know what to really make of this, other than the fact that two gentlemen in there, and they are gentlemen, got paid handsomely, and we, as the fans, were the ones that were caught with our pants down on this one. We should have known better. We should have known better.
Yep. And there you go. And that's why I'm probably so upset with Tyson Fury, because I like to think that, so we predicted that Joshua would win, but I also predicted that nobody could knock out Ngannou. And that's why I held Tyson Fury at a very high regard. And I thought rightfully so. But our UK correspondent, Dave Schroeder, does not hold Tyson Fury to a high regard, does not rank Tyson Fury up there, doesn't even think Tyson Fury is a top three heavyweight. I still disagree with Dave Schroeder, but we'll see, because Tyson Fury is getting ready to fight Usyk. And the reason I say that again is because I think you're right. I don't know that we got to give Anthony Joshua that high level credit right now, because he did lose to Usyk twice. Okay. He did. Now he's beating up on competition that he's supposed to beat. So I don't want to dog him for that, because he's doing what he should do, which is on the positive track for him. But I'm not going to immediately jump up there and be like, listen, Anthony Joshua beats Tyson Fury, because I'm going to hold firm to my beliefs. And I thought a long time ago that if Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury fought, I thought Tyson Fury beats him. Dave Schroeder disagrees, and we're about to find out if I'm right or wrong, because I'm picking Tyson Fury to beat Usyk in May, and Schroeder is 100% against that. So we're about to find out if Weekend Trav knows what he's talking about when it comes to boxing and Tyson Fury, because it's about to be exposed for the good or the bad. But Anthony Joshua, Francis Ngannou, Anthony Joshua had a devastating knockout of Francis Ngannou. It wasn't that he beat Ngannou, it was how he beat Ngannou that was so impressive. And I do give him credit for that. But I also, he just righted some wrongs. He made Ngannou and the MMA guys understand that boxers only train one martial art, and that's boxing. Mm-hmm. That's why we're really good at it. Ngannou trains in multiple different martial arts, mixed martial arts. You cannot come into the boxing world at this level and think that you are going to beat a guy who's been doing it his whole life. And I think we saw that it wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. And Ngannou got starched, and good for him, because he made, I believe, was guaranteed $45 million together for the Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua fight. He made $45 million be money, and Dana White and the UFC used to pay him $600,000 a fight.
And that's when he was a champ, by the way. That's when he peaked at that in the UFC and the MMA. I mean, listen, I've never been one of these guys that is like, you know, this sport versus that sport, this combat sport versus that combat sport. I think there's plenty to go around, but everyone that clamors to that side, How do you defend that? How do you defend the fact that they don't pay these guys? I mean, it's a $1 billion company, the conglomerate that owns the UFC. I mean, they gotta pay these guys better. The amount of marketing revenue that flows through these events is insanity, and they barely pay these guys. The top tier guys, Francis Ngannou, when he was champ, top tier, making 600K for the fight. And by the time you divvy that up with Taxman, your training camp, all that stuff, was it really worth it? And he waltzes into a boxing ring because of his name with Tyson Fury and walks away multi-millions of dollars. Okay. And then
I
this one
believe it
as
was
well.
25 mil for
And
Tyson
then
Fury.
another 20. And yes, same principle, taxes, et cetera, but you're still
Yeah, yeah.
walking away very handsomely done. I mean, and listen, kudos to you. If he sticks with it, keeps training, cool. Keep doing it, work yourself up the ranks. And his name alone, he'll get nice paychecks. Maybe not 20 mil, but he'll get nice paychecks as long as he starts building it up, like a tradition in a traditional sense. He can do it. He's just a little older, so we got to keep that in mind. But back to Anthony Joshua when it comes to throwing him in now with Tyson Fury and Usyk. First of all, and this is a different topic for a different day. I may push you back, and we might have a bet on the Usyk and Tyson Fury fight coming up. Number one, it's got to happen. But number two, I think I'm on the other side of that ledger right now. Tyson Fury, I believe, is very skilled when he's fighting head cases, when he's fighting guys who don't have confidence going in the ring with him. And what I mean by that,
Deontay Wilder, yeah.
yeah, every time he fought Deontay Wilder, you could see it in Deontay Wilder's eyes, like, oh my gosh, if this goes the same result again, you could just tell he's mentally cracking in the ring with Tyson Fury. And this is ironic because Tyson Fury has a history of his own mental issues as well.
Yep,
And
yep.
then you get him untrained, not ready for Francis Ngannou, and you saw the result of that, which is very, very dangerous decision, very close on
Yeah.
that result.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he wasn't trained. He was out of shape. He was fat. He wasn't ready for this thing. And you know, showman that he is and marketer that he is, he will go to his grave saying, no, I was, and good, because he propped Francis Ngannou up for this next fight, made him
Yep.
rich. Good for
Yep.
him. Good
There
for
you
him.
go. There you go. And Ngannou better
Tyson,
be thanking God for Tyson Fury.
but also Tyson Fury, he does it for himself too, because he's a name. He's a name, and his family's a circus act too. His family's all a name. He had a random stepbrother, I guess, fighting on the same card. I mean, the thing was 9 hours
Yeah.
long. And
Yeah.
I think his bro his I don't know how they're related, but their brother's another Fury that we've never heard of was fighting. And then we
Roman
have
Fury.
the other Fury that's who's wishing he could fight Conor McGregor and throwing any names he possibly can. How is Tommy Fury out of money already? That's what I want to, like, I feel like Tommy Fury's already out of money, and now he's trying to throw his name in the hat. Once again, another conversation for another day. But where does now Anthony Joshua stack up, a guy? What do you think? I mean, impressive what he did to someone that was 0-1, now 0-2. Big
Yeah.
dude, but as you've always said to me in the past, this isn't a bodybuilding competition. This is boxing. And so when you look at the two, Adonises that were fighting each other on Friday, and the one Adonis beats the other guy, what do we really take from that now? I mean, I've been critical of Anthony Joshua. I don't know if he's top three. Maybe he is top five. But I think after he, I think I was, I think I texted you and I said, oh, I eat my words. This is what he needed. He's kind of back in the mix. But the more that more time I've had to think about this weekend trap, I don't know if I agree with that. It's more and more unimpressive what he did on Friday. Unimpressive.
Unimpressive.
He should have done what he did. That's the
Yeah.
way it should have been. He
Yep.
should have beat him that way. He
Listen,
should have.
I'm not disagreeing. And I think that here's the deal. He's not in a good position right now, too, just because of the knockout. Because Tyson Fury versus Usyk 1 is May 18th. There is a rematch clause in place, no matter what. Either guy can initiate it. So if they fight once, whatever happens, they can fight again. That means that Tyson Fury is tied up for the rest of 2024.
Yeah,
And they're and
easily.
both and both titles are with Usyk has all three of the titles. Tyson Fury has one title. So all of the heavyweight championship belts are tied up for all of 2024. So where did that leave Joshua?
With the way Tyson Fury fights, it's tied up for 3 years. I mean, this is the way it's
Yeah.
going.
That's why you got to kind of like Joshua a little bit right now, because I believe he's had like five fights in like
Yeah,
18 months,
he's
which
been
is,
busy.
but when you fight lesser opponents, you can do that. He was knocking out some of these guys early, so he's taking less stress on the body, which is very smart. I'll give Joshua this. Eddie Hearn has marketed him pretty brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Hearn knows that that's his cash cow, and it's been his cash cow.
Yep.
Anthony Joshua is very good marketing. He's a very commercial guy. Yep. Big muscles, good looking, pretty charismatic, and he's pretty good. I'm not saying he's not. Yeah. He beat freaking Klitschko, so he's pretty good. Not saying he's not. But can he beat the Usyks and the Furies? Well, no, he can't beat the Usyks because he tried twice. He also lost to Andy Ruiz once and then had a lackluster thing. You know what he needs to do? Joseph Parker deserves a rematch versus Anthony Joshua. Joseph Parker fought on that undercard. Joseph Parker looked amazing. Joseph Parker now has beaten Deontay Wilder and that Zhang. So huge fights. Two guys that nobody likes to fight, B-Money. Joseph Parker is one of the good guys in boxing. He's looked phenomenal his last two fights. Let's see if Anthony Joshua can beat Joseph Parker again. Yeah. I think that is the fight that will put Anthony Joshua back on the real major scene.
I think so.
Joseph Parker.
I think so. Unfortunately, I think Eddie Hearn's going to push for this one. I think he's going, even though he just lost to Joseph Parker, I think he's going to push for Deontay Wilder because I think that's going to be the money fight. I think that's going to be the biggest way to cash in on the trajectory for Anthony Joshua right now. And there's question marks all over Deontay Wilder ever since, let's be honest, ever since Fury 2. Yeah. So I think Eddie Hearn being a great businessman probably pushes for that. The better fight for ranking purposes, I agree with you, is Joseph Parker. That was going to be the name off my tongue too, but I just have a feeling we can Travis going to be Deontay Wilder, and that's probably going to be the winner, is eventually going to take on whoever has belts, I don't know, in a decade, whenever Fury's done playing games. When he's done retiring, you know, running around with one belt, even though that should have been stripped from him a long time ago. I don't know. It just is what it is. I think I'm more on Schroeder's bandwagon here of not being a big fan of Tyson Fury right now. I'm kind of over it. I'm just kind of over the carnival act. I'm kind of over, you know, he's a linguist and he has cool things to say, but fight. Just fight. Yeah. I know. I get it. You got the cut. I get it. But come on. I'm just tired of it. Just fight. Serious.
Yeah, I just think that he's been out of the scene and he's not really talked about anymore. And Tyson Fury loves to be talked about.
Yep.
And he loves to be in the front and center. And yep. Right now, he's not. That's why I think May 18th, we're going to see the best Tyson Fury possible, because I think he's fought lackluster opponents here lately. And I think it's shown. So I think he has to do something. And that means he has to beat Usyk. I think he knows that. That's why he finally made the contract, made the fight, because he should have fought Usyk a long time ago, right? But he did it. He hauled around. He kept putting it off. You know, it's Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury controlled all the belts at one time, so he did whatever he wanted. Now he's only got one, and he's not the big man on campus. He's got to fight to be the big man on campus, and you're right. I think he's been backed into the corner now where he has to fight Usyk and has to beat Usyk, and I think us fans, we win in this scenario, though.
I think it's very scary for him because Usyk's been, and he's usually quiet anyways, but he's been very, very quiet in training, just going about his business, very quiet. So this is we'll see May 18th. As long as it happens, that's a very dangerous fight for Tyson Fury, because Usyk, if he can get in that range, he's going to make it a 12 round just nasty fight, I think. I don't think Usyk knocks him out. I think it goes the distance if that's the case. Tyson Fury has to win by knockout, and I don't think he can do it, to be honest.
I think it's going to be very, very hard to knock out Usyk, because I think Usyk could fight a bear.
Yeah, and he probably is. We don't know.
Probably, yeah, exactly. I mean, he's doing it already in his home
country. He already is. It's kind of wild. All right, well, let's switch from these heavyweights, and let's switch to
the real heavyweights.
The real former heavyweight champ of the world, and that is one Mike Tyson. Well, just announced this past week, coming to a summertime on Netflix, July 20th, is going to be, so far, Mike Tyson taking on one Jake Paul. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, in a boxing match. Details up in the air.
So, according to Ariel Helwani and Nikita, who is the head of Most Valuable Promotions, Jake yep. Paul's promotion company. There's been a lot of rumors out there, and I want to dispel them right now. For now, this is the truth. The truth is there's no headgears. They're not wearing 18-ounce gloves. This is according to Ariel Helwani and Nikita. And also, they're petitioning currently right now, and the Athletic Commission has said this in Texas, that they're petitioning to make this a real fight. They're trying to sanction a 57-year-old who will be 58 by the time the fight happens, which is Mike Tyson, against a 27-year-old Jake Paul. They're petitioning to make this a sanctioned real fight.
So are they going Nevada or Texas on this one?
Texas is at Dallas Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
So I fought in Texas, and I really hope they're not listening to this podcast, but Texas is a very weak commission. Sometimes they are very inept. So would it shock me that they sanction this? No. Do I think they'll sanction this? No. I think that Nikita on Ariel Helwani is telling the truth right now. What's going to happen is Texas is going to decline it, and they're going to say, no, this has got to be an exhibition. So then all the truths will come out after that. But as of right now, as of today, which is Tuesday, March 12th, that is the actual detail. So the rest is rumors. People said there's going to be headgears. Nikita said there's no headgear. There's not 18-ounce gloves. They're trying to make it a real fight. And as of right now, it is supposed to be a real fight. So
we're thinking it's going to be similar to when Mike Tyson took on Roy Jones Jr. That was on Triller, I think, or quite like a while ago. It was an exhibition like 2 years ago, something like that.
Actually, it was four. I thought it was a couple years ago, but it ended up being 4 years ago. It was in 2020. And Jake Paul fought on that undercard, actually.
Less than 4 years, because it was COVID time. And oh my gosh, it's almost happy COVIDversary, guy. It's almost. Everything's shut down in the world maybe a week from now or close to it.
And we just said the C word. Oh my God. We haven't said that for so long.
Yeah. Well, because.
Remember those rules?
Yeah, because the CDC came out and said basically treat it like the flu and it's no big deal anymore. Huh. Anyways, that being said, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, over 30 years age difference. If the Texas Athletic Commission decides to sanction this as a real pro bout, I just don't know anymore. I just don't know anymore. Really? I just don't know. I don't know.
So my personal opinion is I think Nikita is telling the truth. I think what's happened is they're going to blame it on the commission. They're going to say, oh, the commission wouldn't sanction it for a real fight. So we have to make it an exhibition and we have to wear bigger gloves and we're not allowed to judge it, but we wanted to. That's what's going to happen. That's my opinion. But right now, I want to let everybody know what the facts are, because I've seen people coming around saying, oh, they're wearing headgear. Nikita said, no headgear. They're not wearing 18-ounce gloves. The rounds have not been set yet. It's going to be a pro style fight, meaning 3-minute rounds, but they don't know how many number of rounds yet. So that's probably the truth as of right now. So that's all we know, but I want to dispel the rumors because there's a lot of rumors. Derek Chisora, mind you, of all people, he was spreading these rumors, and Nikita on Ariel Helwani said, no. This is BS. Exactly. He's like, I have the inside. And sure. They're like,
sure.
No,
Tyson Fury's buddy has the inside track. Got it.
But I'll tell you this, there'll be money. My point. I am weirdly interested and invested in this. I actually think it's kind of cool. I have a little bit of I want to see Mike Tyson fight. Just like I think half of the world does.
Well, here.
And I don't think Jake Paul is going to hurt him. Like Larry Holmes did Muhammad Ali when he was kind of past his prime.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen. And that's why I'm okay with it. And I want to see it, because I'm holding out for that small glimmer that Mike Tyson snaps and breaks Jake Paul's jaw in that ring. And then the whole world is going to be like, we love you, Mike. We've always loved you. Thank you for doing what you did.
Well,
he's 58, 57. Yeah. I get it.
I think he had a little spill or something like that in a recent training this past week, or he got dehydrated or something like that. So I don't know. 4 years ago, he looked sharper than we thought he was going to look against Roy Jones Jr. But 4 years in the age of 50 plus is a big difference than 4 years if you're in your 30s, right? So who knows?
Agreed.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to stand in front of that. But if he gets into one of his just patented and he's able to do a like the quick just taking his head off, that's a quick night for against Jake Paul. However, if he doesn't get that in the first round, he's going to start sucking wind, I think. Jake Paul just needs to survive.
I thought that for Roy Jones and him too, but Tyson ended up impressing.
Actually held back against Roy Jones Jr. out of respect, I think.
I know. And Roy actually had a pro fight like a couple years before they did their exhibition and Roy was younger. But regardless of all that, I'm a big fan of Mike Tyson.
Absolutely.
I'm not a fan of Jake Paul, but I'm also not a hater of Jake Paul either. I know what he's doing.
Be honest.
I'm not a hater of it because I actually
be honest about being a fan. Be honest. You're a fan of Jake Paul now. Listen, be honest.
I have always said it, and I respect what he does because he respects the sport enough to train his butt off. And that's what I've always said. You can go back on our podcast. And I have. I'm not a hater of the guy because I think that he takes it as serious as he can.
Sure.
This is new age. His promotion is not likable. He doesn't promote like people like. He's not a Mike Tyson. He's not a Roy Jones Jr. He's not a Oscar De La Hoya. I get that. It's different. But I do know what he's doing. I think that he trains hard.
Yep.
And he's doing what he's doing. I don't have to like it. I'm not a hater, but I know what he's doing. And I actually respect the hustle, man. And people need to get that in their heads. Jake Paul is what you want to say he is, but he's got enough clout that he could call a legend like Mike Tyson, who doesn't need the money, be money, to come out and do this exhibition or whatever it is. That takes a lot of clout. That takes a lot of courage because no matter what, it's still Mike Tyson at 57 or 58. Doesn't matter. So Jake Paul's doing something right, bro, because he got Mike Tyson to come out and fight him. Not anybody could do that.
No, all of us
can call him out all he wants, but he actually made it happen. So he's getting my respect for that. Is this a real fight? I don't think so. Do I respect it on the real scene of boxing? No, this is entertainment. This is a little bit of I don't know. This is like our little dessert. It's our fast food, junk food dessert that we know we shouldn't have, but we want it. You know what I mean? Like
I feel personally attacked there with that, just because I show up eating Taco Bell and stuff a lot of times when we record. I don't like this. But you're right. I think the key word you said there was entertainment. This is entertainment. There will be entertainment value to it. It's on Netflix. The details, as far as I'm aware, Netflix is if you pay for the service, you got what's on there.
That is confirmed. It is not pay-per-view.
Yeah.
If you're a subscriber, you get it.
Interesting. So Netflix is going to be shelling out some money for this sucker. And once again, Jake Paul shows off his marketing genius here and brings Mike Tyson along for the ride too, to get him a nice payday, more than likely. Those details have yet to surface, but we shall see. So that's coming July 20th. And stay tuned to weighing in with Travis Hartman as the details unfold as to what kind of a fight we're going to be looking at. Will it be a 6-round exhibition? Will it be a true match? We shall see. Way back when, there was one Rocky Balboa that was attempting to get his license back. And I think he was in his 50s going against Antonio Tarver Jr. I don't think that was his name in the movie. But they ended up settling on an exhibition fight as well.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that was a movie. Weekend Trav, that is that. I mean, unless you got something else to talk about, episode 150. There's one name we haven't said, and we're not going to say it because he's gotten enough press over the last couple of weeks. So don't even put that name in your mouth. The last name starts with a G. Don't do it. It's like looking in the mirror and saying Bloody Mary several times. You can't do it. You can't do it.
Oh, I do have one last thing to say. I just realized it today.
Hey, final thought.
Today is March 12th, 2024.
Okay.
I turned professional March 12th, 2004, to the day.
Wow. Congratulations on your 20-year anniversary.
Yeah, I just realized it. It's pretty cool. I fought on a card, and they billed the card March Madness because March Madness is going on right now. And I love basketball, too. So
yeah,
I thought it was kind of cool. So this is my 20-year anniversary of turning professional. Weekend Trav is getting old. I get it, but it's my 20-year anniversary. So there's that. That's my final thought. God bless. I love boxing, and B Money, safe travels, brother, because I know B Money is taking his spring break, going to Washington, D.C.
Got a the eighth grade D.C. trip for the daughter. But yes, so we want to wish everyone well this week and the spring break travels for other folks that listen to us. This has been episode 150 episodes of Weighing In with Travis Hartman. And we want to thank all that subscribe. We ask that if you have yet to subscribe, please do so below. If you're catching us on YouTube or Rumble, or you're listening to us on the audio on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, wherever it is, we are out there on the audio side, but on the video side, the platform is obviously YouTube. And I think Rumble still feeds some of that in there as well. Please subscribe below. Give us a thumb up. What did we miss? What about Weekend Trav's take that he's blaming the knockout, the Francis Ngannou knockout? He's blaming it on Tyson Fury. What a weird take. I don't know. We're not going to dive back into that. How weird. I want someone to comment below like, serious? You're going to blame Ngannou? How about blame Tyson Fury? How about blaming Ngannou on that? Anyways, so we got that. And obviously Tyson and Paul coming. So we appreciate the support. Please definitely follow us on Instagram as well. Weighing In with Travis Hartman, all one word. And that is that. Have a happy and safe St. Patrick's Day in a few days. And that over there is the talent, Travis Hartman, a.k.a. Weekend Trav.
That's my boy, the man, the myth, the legend, B Money, a.k.a. producer, a.k.a. the man, the myth, the legend that makes the whole podcast go round. Peace out, brother.
God bless.